Lesson 4, Segment 5. Why a Goblin? In this segment, you'll learn how folk and fairy tales were our original source of psychology and social understanding, why I chose the goblin archetype to represent the wounded, separated shadow self in the envision process, how a goblin operates and serves in the psyche, when and why a goblin is born, ancestral goblins. I remembered that not only was this creature ugly, but reminded me of a childhood fairy tale my mother read to me when I was little and the illustrations that were on the book, which was in German. The fairy tale was called Rumpelstiltskin, about a miller's daughter who was granted 3 wishes by a goblin that gave her magical powers like being able to spin yarn into gold, etc. And when those wishes were fulfilled, they enabled her to marry a king. But that held a caveat that one day he would return and she would have to guess his name, and if she was wrong, he would claim her firstborn. And this is the essential psychological truth in that fairy tale, that if you don't name your goblin, your firstborn will belong to him. It's the same as the statement by Jung that if we allow our wounded self to remain hidden in the shadows unclaimed and nameless, it will hurt us in ways seemingly brought about by fate. If we don't identify our wounded selves, they'll trick us into repeating the false messages that we're not whole over and over, falsely influencing our realities to remain stuck in an old sabotaging pattern. Long before the advent of psychology in the early 1900s, fairy tales and folk tales, myths and legends, were our primary source of understanding human nature, our changing role in the social order, our relationship to the gods, morals and ethics, and the consequences of our actions when driven by our desires. So, for language purposes, when you're coaching and have a more conservative client who may not feel connected to the fairy tale imagery at all, you can just refer to this shadow self as their challenger. But for our purposes, there are deeper reasons to refer to this aspect as the goblin. The goblin represents the primary source of fear and all its subsequent byproducts, such as anger, jealousy, defensiveness, greed, etc. He also represents the psychological issues you created when you didn't take in the lesson of your suffering because your pain was so great that you ran away from facing the work of healing and integration. He is the embodied voice of separation in all its forms. Think of a goblin, the way I described in my book, The Map, Finding the Magic and Meaning in the Story of Your Life, as a type of gnome gone wrong. In the 16th century, Swiss alchemist Paracelsus wrote of the gnome as a mythic creature representing the earth element, whose job it was to protect treasure hidden underground. Gnomes symbolized the energy that protected the unformed potential within the world and within oneself. Traditionally, gnomes couldn't come above the surface lest they be turned to stone as soon as they entered the light. Their job was to serve and guard things hidden beneath the earth, watching over seedlings and the gems of possibilities yet to be mined. And if you've ever wondered why people put small statues of garden gnomes amongst their flower beds, now you know why and where that came from. Now, goblins were thought to be the cousins of gnomes, protecting the deformed. Imagine that this now homeless gnome in another form has come up from underground and mutated, becoming a very active and naughty goblin, or a naughty little gnome. Far from paralyzed, once he's above ground, this little guy really gets around and can be found in every unpleasant landscape. And he'll show up in the more delightful ones as well, where he'll trick you into leaving. Dispossessed, unloved, and unwanted, a goblin will wreak havoc. And that's the archetypal tale of the goblin. Unloved, unwanted, dispossessed, born to protect the deformed and imperfect, with the power to mimic your voice exactly so you can't help but listen to its voice. It's the trickster archetype that is woven into countless tales passed down generation to generation that derives its power from its initiation in your life. The moment you're wounded, this creature is born within you. In lay terms, you adapt the story that accompanies your wound. A critical father creates an inner critic. Sexual abuse can create a fearful manipulator. Being punished for not being perfect could give birth to a judge, etc. From being a child that has no reason to believe it's not whole, to one who is told the world is unsafe or that you need to work hard for love and approval, you're different so you're not worthy, etc., you'll recognize that an active narrator is very much alive in you when its story becomes triggered by an event that requires a reminder of the origin of its deformed truth. You hear your own voice become the perpetrator of the unhappy truth that you should be ashamed, afraid, controlling, jealous, etc., followed by actions and emotions that have become automatic. So let's talk about the birth of the goblin. Challengers are born during the first moment when you get the message you are not whole. Strong emotional experiences that happen early on give birth as soon as you feel something is lost. It's not actually. Your freedom and self-worth can't ever truly be lost. It's the illusion of this loss that gives a voice to this new wounded self, whose only job is to remind you of itself over and over to ensure its survival. This persona remains split, buried in the shadows of the subconscious, operating on automatic pilot, reinforced over time until its very presence becomes an accepted narrative. Remember the always concept of the patterns of the past that we talked about in the last lesson. So imagine that always has a voice that belongs only to the wounded part of you, not the rest of you. Let's talk about the part it plays. Consider the goblin as the trickster that has one job only, to reinforce its existence. And then how it does that is by mimicking your voice and reminding you every time you get close to changing for the better not to betray it. Think about it. The archetype of the goblin is to protect the deformed. It's just doing its job. Sabotage in its books is doing a good job. It's not there to hurt you, only to remind you of this new state of truth, lest you decide to betray the story it's attached to. It's familiar. It's an energy. Granted, it's destructive, chaotic, and dark, but it's just energy in the end. Low vibrating, contracting energy, mind you. Now let's talk about ancestral goblins. Let's talk about the goblins you inherit. Hatred and prejudice, racial and sexual repression is passed down generationally, and so entire cultures can adopt a challenger narrative that prevents that culture from evolving into a more egalitarian democratic society, for example. Revolutions happen for this very reason. In families, ideas and experiences that have shaped both parents can be passed down simply in the nuances a child will notice in their formative developmental years between birth and the age of six. My mom was a Holocaust survivor, and her issues around survival and security greatly affected me, although I never knew anything about the truth of her history until I was in my early 20s. One of my clients' mothers was an immigrant from a chauvinistic Eastern culture and had been sexually abused by her first husband in an arranged marriage. Although she had not been, like her mother, she was very much an approval seeker and would become riveted in fear anytime anyone would be aggressive towards her, especially a male in business. She would become manipulative and, as she would call it, not herself. There was no real event in her life that would make her that way, as her mother remarried a kind man, although he was stern, and she was raised with everything she could have wanted materially. But she learned this behavior from the womb. And this challenger took up residence in her psyche as she acted out her mother's social and psychological patterns. Once we identified it, we were able to create a new narrative and a dialogue she could have with that part of herself when it got active. In my own family, all the women in my ancestral lineage, my mother, my grandmother, and up the line, have experienced sexual abuse by more than one man and loss of dignity and power and all that goes with it. When it happened to me and I told my mom, I had no idea that that was in my family history. Not at all. But I somehow energetically recreated a scene that has been repeated in my family lineage over and over, generation to generation. It made no sense whatsoever. So there was something in me, and I know that today, some kind of narrative that brought it all together that allowed me in the position that I was when my own abuse actually happened. So it's really interesting. So although Envision is a coaching tool and not therapy, you may never go so deep with a client as to uncover all the threads and psychological twists of these stories as one might say in psychotherapy. This kind of content is not uncommon, however, and we can move away from the voices that compel us to choose behaviors and experiences coherent with their narratives, even without knowing all the details. So how do we get around this? What exactly do we do now that we know we have these energies that wait in the shadows to sabotage us from evolving and getting to our goals and achievements? And we're going to explore that in the next segment, which will lead into your home play for lesson 4. As I repeat over and over, the theoretical content is interesting and it's important for you to know, like everything that I've talked about is important for you to know, but the doing of the exercises is where it all comes together and solidifies for you. So remember, if you're still scratching your head going, what's she talking about? Once you actually do this for yourself and with a partner, it's all going to make sense.